You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's cloudy and rainy. 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson, Gordy Young, producer Sam, and producer Dominic / Boris.
No, it's really not Boris.
Dom?
His middle name is not Boris.
It is Boris.
You just made that up.
I just checked his ID. He brought in his birth certificate for the human resources department.
I don't want him tagged with Boris for the rest of his life.
I think it's a cool name.
Yes, I know you do, but no one wants to be called Boris. It's up to you.
I might give you the grand reveal right now. I might give you the grand reveal.
Yeah. Tell us.
Okay.
Joseph.
Joseph is your real...
Yes.
That's the real name. It's, you know...
What? You mean I didn't have it right?
No.
What? Okay, Joseph.
That's why you lost your stand in the Dells.
I had a nice place there, right on Superior Street, downtown.
You did.
Across from Have a Swig with Nig. You know, it was right there.
Exactly.
The perfect place.
Swig with Nig. Yeah.
That's been there forever.
I know.
Since the 30s.
And everybody who's 20s. Looked at the name of that place
I
is
know.
Going, what?
They're rolling their eyes going, what year is this?
What is he
I know
talking
it,
about?
I know. It.
All right, let's go to the phones. We've got Catherine on the line now. It's something you said, I'm
what
sure.
Did I do?
Catherine, what's up?
Good morning.
You're all in such trouble. I'm going to get you later. But no, I wanted you to know something because you don't have the capability, and your listeners would not know this. You do not have the capability of hearing what goes on in your show ever. That's what's coming out of your mouth.
I know.
So what you missed, and I wanted to, because it made me snort my coffee.
Yes.
It's a promo for Pete. You know, Pete Schwab, who does our 6 to 8 entertainment show. It is so entertaining. He's like the Tonight Show at night on Civic Media.
I know.
He did a promo saying that he's trying to do intermittent fasting. You know, when you don't eat first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, you wait until afternoon maybe or whatever. And you get your 12 hours, your 8 hours of real fasting. No food.
Right.
And he said he took a walk and he got swarmed by the midges. And he thinks he ate 8 to 10 of them.
Oh.
And he's wondering if that broke his fast.
Probably.
So he's eating, he was eating flies?
Yeah.
And they have 0.008 calories per. And Conrad said, I guess that means you broke your fast. And he said, oh, well, they tasted okay. So it's all right.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, they tasted. I did hear that earlier.
That Pete, I'll tell you.
Yeah, on the way in.
I know. I love being on his program.
Yeah.
He's fun.
You guys have him on yours. Get his butt out of bed. Someday,
you know, we should call him. Yeah, early in the morning.
You know,
wake him up.
Yes.
You know, I'm just
I'll
a little
home number.
I'm a little jealous of him. He gets to watch all the movies, and I can't anymore.
Yeah.
So
all right, we got to get him in here.
All right. Thank you,
Catherine.
All right.
Appreciate that. Yeah. No, that's a great promo. I did hear that coming in. We got to get Pete in here. By the way, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Madison Hearing Aid Center. I went there yesterday. I got the complete hearing test, and then I walked out with new hearing aids.
Yeah,
and they're excellent.
Invisible.
I've had
wear them.
Can't tell
behind the ear.
Yeah, they're amazing. Mm-hmm. They emphasize passion over profit. They're driven by a passion for helping people, not just selling devices. They have fast and flexible appointments. Madison Hearing Aid Center. They are family-owned and community-focused. They're at 4706 Cottage Grove Road, and that's in Madison. And once again, their goal isn't just selling hearing aids; it's improving the quality of life through hearing. You've got them.
Yeah,
We don't wear them when we're on the air. We've got the headphones on.
We blast those things to pieces. The way we turn.
Why
up
do
our
we have hearing problems? Well, we were in rock and roll for a long time, rock and roll radio, and that explains that. But anyway, check them out. Madison Hearing Aid Center. Jim and Sarah will help you out. MadisonHearingAidCenter.com.
And their AI.
Yes.
Control.
All kind and yes. Bluetooth.
Yep. Bluetooth.
It's amazing.
You know what I like about the AI? Yeah. Is that when you're shopping, it actually gives you suggestions.
Does it really?
Yeah, it actually tells you what to buy.
Do you have to, so you turn on the Bluetooth and or is it just happen automatically?
It just happens automatically. It's telling me what to buy now. So
that's why you walk out of Costco with so much. Yes. Really?
Yes.
That is
my second home, Costco.
You get an app with your hearing aids and it's really cool. You can adjust them, you can check out the EQ on your hearing aids.
By the way, I gotta tell you, my latest experience at Costco. It's a box of Kleenex. What a weird place with this. For that.
It's like playing volleyball over here.
Okay. So anyway, I was thinking the other day, it's summertime again and the heat is rising and I can't handle heat. I can't handle
me either.
2 points either.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I got to get a new pedestal fan. My pedestal fan broke. I don't know what happened to it. I cleaned it all up, right? And I plug it in and I turn it on. It doesn't turn on.
Oh,
I really got it. So it's the cleanest piece of junk anybody will ever see. Anyway, I thought, well, I want a pedestal fan. How can I get the best kind of pedestal fan? And this is it. Because I'm sitting out at the table, in the summer.
Right.
I'm sitting outside. I want to do my show out there, a little prep out there at the picnic table and have some beers. And I'm thinking, well, I can't have a fan out here unless I have an extension cord, blah, blah, blah. So, long story short, not really.
Too late for that, but go ahead.
Battery operated.
Battery operated.
A cordless pedestal fan.
That would be great.
Guess what?
They have them.
They had them.
Where?
I couldn't believe
at
it.
Costco?
I thought this was my giant new billion-dollar idea. a battery, a rechargeable, portable pedestal fan.
Yeah.
And they have them there.
I tell you, everything's been done and redone before. Nothing's new anymore.
I know. So
did you buy it?
I did. I bought two of them, one for my kid upstairs because it's really hot on the third floor. But also, I got myself one, and it is fantastic. What a piece of genius. Absolutely fantastic.
It's rechargeable.
Oh, it's rechargeable. You can take it anywhere you want.
It's great.
Got a handle on it. It's got a magnet on the back of it where you can put the remote control.
Oh, wow.
It's a remote-controlled fan, too?
Of course it is.
Wow.
Of course. Hey, nothing but the best.
Does it go back?
The best for me.
It goes back and forth? I mean, swings
it does.
One way and the other?
Yes. In fact, you can adjust to 160, 90, and 45. You can go
on. Oh, the angle?
The whole angle, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's plus, get this. Yeah. This is the kicker. This is fun. If you hold down the button for the speed.
Yeah.
If you hold it down for 3 seconds, it goes on super speed.
Does it really?
Yeah, man. It's like having a jet.
By remote control?
You have to walk up to it and touch it, but you have to push that down for 3 seconds, and it's like having a jet engine in your
We need one of those in the studio here because it gets a little warm in the summertime.
Yeah.
We could get a pedestal fan.
It's wonderful. It's just fantastic. So, and it's on sale, $40 off.
What a deal.
I wish they'd pay me for this.
The Costco endorsement?
Yes.
Let's
somewhere along the way.
Let's get our sales guy Arthur.
But anyway, if you're looking for a battery operated chargeable pedestal fan that has a jet engine on it, there you go.
Excellent.
Wow, that's a breezy fan.
Yeah,
it's a tornado in here. Okay.
Wish it were a little more silent than that, but I mean, and by the way,
that's
it is
terrific.
Super silent.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. All right.
Excellent.
Enough for my sales pitch.
Okay.
We'll charge them later.
Okay. Good deal.
All right. Let's take a look at the big bad bill that they're pushing out there.
Yeah, we can't say the real name of it now.
No, we cannot. Do not say the real name of that thing.
The beautiful.
Seriously.
Okay.
Do we want to mention what the Onion headline about this bill was?
Oh yeah, you mentioned that.
I get emails from the Onion every day, and their headline yesterday was Republicans argue whether the bill should be the handsome bill or the beautiful bill.
Well, they went with beautiful.
Yes, it's still.
You know, they stayed up all night. They were up all night debating this bill.
I know they're trying. Yeah. They're trying to pass it in the middle of the night, so yes. people don't know so what's people, in it, right?
Yeah, like we're not going like to be able to
read
it out.
The next day or something. Yeah. Well, anyway, this is going to run into some problems in the states, right. especially the red states. They're shifting the social safety net programs, the cost of it, to the states now. And get this, the Wisconsin Democrats here at the legislature, they want to plan ahead. They want to start planning on funding the programs that will be cut via the federal government.
Okay. Yeah.
So they want to plan ahead. And guess who doesn't want to plan ahead?
Well,
that's right. The Republicans at the state legislature. They're not moving on this thing.
No.
And the problem is that what they want to do, they want to cut programs, they want to cut spending in the state so they can give tax cuts in the state. Now, these are state tax cuts. So now the federal government wants to also have tax cuts for the wealthy countrywide. So we have these two converging problems of tax cuts this all over the place and no spending.
No.
Yeah. So the states, for the first time, would have to pay for a portion of food stamp benefits, going from paying nothing now to paying about 5 to maybe 25%, as well as a larger portion of administrative costs. This would result in reductions in the number of people, currently more than 40 million, or close to 13% of the population suddenly losing food stamps, probably. Wow. Generally, people are only eligible for food assistance if they make less than $33,000 a year for a family of three.
Right.
So figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Under the guise of waste, fraud, and abuse, states will get $698 billion less for Medicaid, Badger Care, here in this state, over 10 years, cutting millions from health care. States would not be able to backfill all the cuts to Medicaid, the federal percentage of it. Mm. And the current House proposal would also reduce federal funding to the 14 states that have used their own state funds to cover undocumented children. So now, it's not a cost to the federal government, but they're going to reduce federal funding to the states that pay through their own state money to cover undocumented children. I mean, this is just mean-spirited crap. Mm. Trump administration has begun denying disaster relief for states. We talked about that earlier. You know, kind of canceling out FEMA. Trump does not like FEMA.
Yeah.
And that follows a March executive order in which the president called for the states to be empowered. That's it. That's
empowered.
That's the word. To do more to prepare for the cyber attacks, wildfires, hurricanes, and tornadoes.
Yeah, just leave it up to the states.
Yeah, and
they can handle that.
And this was in the story. It said space weather. I don't know what the hell that is.
Space weather?
Space weather. We got to deal with that. I don't know what that
what
is.
What does that mean?
No, that was really in the story. I couldn't believe it. Okay, and this is the last point. It'll reduce federal spending on student loans by about $350 billion and pare back federally subsidized loans and cap the amount. Fewer will be able to afford college at this point. So we're really doing well. We're making America great again.
Wow. Well, when we come back, I'm going to ask our WMDX chief meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, about space weather.
The space weather.
If she's ever heard the term.
Weather.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. Interplanetary.
Is that what
weather.
It is? Maybe? Okay. We'll find out next with Brittany Merlot on WMDX. John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's a media world. WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
7:23, cloudy skies. We've had some drizzle, some light rain already this morning. Going to see a little bit more along the way, off and on.
Well, we should find out for sure.
Well, we should. How could we possibly do that?
Yeah.
What would be the best way to do that, to find out more about the weather?
Coincidentally, I think we have somebody that we could...
Joining us right now.
Ask.
Yes, our WMDX chief meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Oh, good morning, Brittany.
Fantastic.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Looks like another umbrella day around here.
Yeah.
Got rain showers this morning, and I guess more on the way, right?
You got your Great Lakes hoodie on today. That's pretty nice.
Very cool.
Nice looking. Yeah.
Yes, I do. They are rocking and rolling, the Great Lakes. Lake Michigan, waves are at about 6 to 7 feet right now.
Wow.
Lake Superior has a gale warning. So, you know, I'm just cold up here. Wind chills are in the mid-30s, so I had to put the hoodie on again, even though we came from those 80s before. It feels like so long ago now. After yesterday and today, it's still going to be a wet and raw day. Probably another quarter of an inch of rain expected. It's going to continue to drop south as this system starts to exit. So highs today still colder, hitting about 50 degrees, feeling more like 40.
Yeah.
And of course, we'll see a little bit of drizzle possible still tomorrow morning, but then the sunshine returns. Yay! Yeah. And so do the 60s.
Oh man, I can't wait.
So Memorial Day weekend looking pretty good? All in all?
Oh, it really is, honestly. I mean, I'm sure people would probably prefer it to be a little bit warmer, but low 60s on Friday, mid-60s Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and we're only looking at some chances of rain moving in by Monday evening now.
Great.
So it's holding off till the very end of our Memorial Day weekend, and we're still looking at upper 60s as we start into next week, too.
Excellent.
That sounds that's fantastic,
really good.
Yeah.
Once we get through today.
I like the cooler temperatures, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
They're comfortable. They're perfect.
Yeah.
You can do stuff and not sweat, and you can also, you know, be outside and comfortable. It's good. It's good.
So the dew points then will be low.
You with the dew points. What is your problem lately with dew points?
Smart.
What is it?
It's a super villain that I oftentimes try to fight. Look, I just read what the federal government is doing to the states. They're foisting off all the costs to the states. But they're also getting rid of a few things. And one of the things, and we're going to ask you about this right now, they mentioned that it's going to empower states to do more to prepare for cyber attacks, wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes,
and
space weather.
Space weather. Interplanetary weather.
Space weather.
Space weather. Do you have any idea what they're talking about?
Space weather.
Space weather.
I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Unless they caught one of our interplanetary weather forecasts and think, well, we got to get rid of that. That's waste, fraud, and abuse right there.
What could space weather possibly mean? I mean, like an asteroid coming down? Or is that?
I don't know. I don't know.
The first thing that my mind went to was like debris out there that could affect our atmosphere, but like, no.
Okay.
All right. Well, we just thought we'd ask.
Nobody knows.
Some weird typo.
They threw it in. Threw it into this bill. Okay.
All right. Just throwing everything in.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just making stuff up.
Apparently.
All right, Brittany.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate your report, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. You have a great
day. Sounds good, you guys.
All right.
You too. Stay dry.
Yep. Will do.
WMDX Chief Meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Okay, well, there's new rules, by the way. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is changing the way it approves COVID-19 vaccines for Americans.
Yeah.
A move that may limit future shots to older Americans and people at high risk of serious COVID-19 infections. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're using placebo effects now. They're using testing that, you know, creates the placebo and the actual vaccine in test cases. So, well, I guess, you know, this takes a lot of time. It's very expensive for the drug companies to have this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what is happening here. The agency, this is RFK Jr.'s idea, by the way, is changing the type of evidence it will accept from vaccine manufacturers to approve updated COVID-19 shots. Updated shots will probably be available this fall for adults 65 and older and those with underlying conditions. Underlying conditions. Well, nearly three quarters of Americans 6 months and older have at least one underlying medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Does that mean that then everybody still can get the COVID vaccine boosters? I don't know.
I don't
right?
know. I guess.
Now, I you would think that we would have at least enough evidence at this point in time, after going through the pandemic, that it has proven itself to be very effective and safe. And
yes.
Right?
Right.
So
right.
Why do we need at least a placebo-controlled trial for something like this already? And these are just improvements on it, where they're, you know, just updating it per virus.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I'm just thinking, you know, this is not a good thing to happen.
No.
Preventing people from getting the COVID vaccine if they want it.
By the way, we just got a text in here from Laddie, who says space, we were talking about space weather with Brittany.
Yeah.
Space weather means things like solar flares and sunspots. Really? That's
well,
in the bill. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much money the state spent on those things.
I don't know either.
You never know.
It is 7:29. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing that remains constant since they opened the doors in 1958, they're still direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. It's Verlo of Madison, east side and west side locations. Just go to verlo.com. Coming up right around the corner, Mike McCabe is in the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
All right, he will join us in just a few minutes on John and Gordy in the Morning.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
John and Gordy in the Morning.
As we were saying.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
It's John and Gordy in the Morning.
And I want to look them straight in the eye, and I want to tell them what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dip-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is. Here's the Tylenol.
You're going to need one.
Mm-hmm.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the Morning, and we are having a wonderful time here this morning, aren't we? Even though it was raining
it's drizzly.
And we have Mike McCabe in the studio from Substack. Mm-hmm. Is it raining out there still a little bit?
Yeah, it's dismal out there. It's all great. It's all bright and shiny in here, but
yeah.
But man, it's
I
one
know.
Of those dreary days outdoors. And sprinkling a little bit, but not bad.
Yeah.
Well, all right. It is 7:36, this portion of the show being brought to you by our new sponsor here. You might be interested in this, Mike. Madison now has a place where you can break stuff. It's called Crashbox Therapy. You can smash your stress away at Crashbox Therapy. They're at 319 Beltline Highway next to Pitcher's Pub. You can break, you can stomp, you can shatter, you can yell out all your pain or joys at Crashbox Therapy. Make your appointment now. Just go online, crashboxtherapy.com. That's crashboxtherapy.com, 319 Beltline Highway, next to Pitcher's Pub. Get your aggression out. You know, you don't want to go around with a chip on your shoulder or something. You just go in and break stuff.
I mean, a lot of the topics we talk about here, you know, really make us angry. Now, if we could bring a little Crashbox Therapy here into the studio, right? Maybe they got a portable version of it.
I don't think that's a good idea. We don't want to break anything in our brand new studio here. We might hurt something.
We don't have enough equipment in the brand new studio to break.
Okay.
Well, all right. They're promising to put that in.
Something to keep in mind.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Mike, it's good to see you. Mike McCabe.
Good to be here.
Substack blogger. And author of Miracles Along County Q.
That's right.
Okay.
So we were just checking out your latest post.
Right.
It's pretty dark stuff there.
kind of on a negative.
Geez. And I know you're standing up for the rural community, but boy, you know, they're pretty.
No, I actually think.
Politically active sometimes.
Well, yeah, and I think there's an uplifting part to the story.
There is.
You know,
there is
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I mean, it, yeah. It was outright revolt in the early 1930s.
Yeah.
In the area where I grew up. Not far from County Q, as a matter of fact, that runs through Clark County.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know about the milk strikes of 1933.
I did not know.
Not taught in school. Not something that is on very many people's radar, but...
Well, tell us about it.
Well, how you led up to it by, you know, maybe some comments in the audience from people who might actually think that rural communities are a little bit on the very conservative, edgy side.
Yeah, and the area I'm talking about where all this started, where the milk strikes were born, is today the reddest of red areas in our country. It is a MAGA Republican stronghold today.
Yeah.
And in the late 1920s and early 1930s, this was a hotbed of progressivism.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And farmers had it. They weren't getting fair prices. And so they just decided, doggone it, we're going to organize. And in Abbotsford, Wisconsin, which is not far from where our farm was as I was growing up, not far from where the town where my novel is set is at, farmers came together, hundreds of farmers came together to start to organize to withhold their milk. And then not too long after that, 5,000 farmers showed up in nearby Marshfield to continue the organizing campaign, and eventually over 100,000 farmers in Wisconsin had joined the milk strike. They were dumping milk at the roadside and on railroad tracks, and they were blocking shipment of milk to creameries, to places where it was bottled or made into cheese. They even were blowing up some cheese factories and creameries with dynamite. They were obstructing the roads, erecting blockades to prevent trucks from getting milk products to Madison and Milwaukee.
Wow.
They just decided, we're going to shut everything down. There's not going to be milk or any milk products anywhere in the state of Wisconsin. This eventually spread to other dairy states across the country. And it ended up getting the attention of the Roosevelt administration. And the very first farm bill came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
A federal response that produced a New Deal era supply management program that made sure that farmers got a fair price and were able to be profitable was put in place in this country for the very first time. So here in this area where it's today about the biggest MAGA Republican stronghold that you will see anywhere in the state of Wisconsin, started this revolt. The governor at the time was a Democrat. Now, Democrats and Republicans were different animals back then.
Yes, they were. Yeah.
But the governor at the time was a Democrat. Mm-hmm. He called out the National Guard to confront the strikers. They were met with tear gas and beaten with clubs, and one farmer was shot in the neck and died in his brother's arms.
Oh, my God.
It did not stop the strikers. The Wisconsin State Journal wrote an editorial at the time comparing that killing of that farmer to the beginning of the American Revolution, and this strike got even bigger until it led to massive reform of milk pricing in what became the very first farm bill ever enacted by Congress. And the Roosevelt administration put into effect a system that treated farmers far more fairly than they had been treated. So that kind of, that Democratic governor at the time compared these farmers to socialists and said that they were under the had fallen under the influence of Bolsheviks.
Sure.
And these are the people who are in the same area that today is very red. MAGA country.
It's amazing how their heritage has so much to do with socialism.
Right? Absolutely. And at that same basic time, I didn't write about this, but there was something formed in North Dakota called the Nonpartisan League. That very same time, the early 1930s, and they put in place public purchasing and transport of wheat, because wheat, that was a big wheat area. Mm-hmm. They actually formed the first and only, it still exists today, is the State Bank of North Dakota, a public bank.
Wow.
To provide credit to farmers and to make sure that farmers could get product to market at a reasonable cost. And that bank, the State Bank of North Dakota, mm-hmm. still exists to this day.
Wow.
And so there was...
How did Trump miss
there was,
that?
There was this prairie populism. It's a state bank. It's not a federal bank.
He's going after everything.
I know. But there was this prairie populism, and those organizers of the Nonpartisan League mm-hmm. in North Dakota, they were socialists. They were popular back then.
Socialism was very popular.
Yeah, and so I think my point was just that, look, it hasn't always been the way it is today.
Yeah.
Not in Clark County, Wisconsin, not in North Dakota, in none of these places. It's not always been this way, and it's not always going to be this way. And the seeds of reactionary right-wing politics have always been there, but also the seeds of progressive, even revolutionary politics mm-hmm. have always been in the ground there. Now, I also mentioned that this was not a one-off. What happened in 1933 was not a one-off. During my childhood, I was 14 years old at the time.
Is that 1974?
It was 1974, right. So I was 14 years old. Yeah. And this was in Curtis, and our farm was just miles outside of the little town of Curtis in Clark County. I remember this well. We had reached the point where shipping an animal to market cost you more than what you got paid for the animal.
Yeah. Right.
If you sold an animal in market, it didn't even cover your transportation costs.
I remember that story.
And
it was
people were so frustrated with the pricing of in the market that that farmers in Clark County ended up organizing a calf kill.
Yeah.
And dug a huge trench. I remember exactly where it was.
Yeah.
And they dug a huge trench. Right. Over 650 calves were slaughtered and dumped in this trench. And about a dozen and a half hogs also were killed and dumped in the trench. Now, my family didn't participate. We knew about it. Everybody knew about it.
Yeah.
We chose not to participate. But it made national news. It ended up covered in the New York Times. Walter Cronkite announced this news, reported this incident on the CBS Evening News, and we all watched it. That little Curtis, 150 people in the middle of nowhere, made the national news because of this outburst of frustration. And so, as recently as 1974, you had this, you had these seeds of revolt that were right there.
Yeah.
It was seething, and I think it's just so important for people to remember that the way people seem today is not the way they've always been, and it's not the way they will always be. It's a heck of a lot more fluid than people imagine, and so that was really my point with this latest Substack article.
Talking with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author, 746. And so, Mike, what can we learn? Let's talk about today's farmers. And, you know, is there a possibility that they could do some sort of drastic action? What are they upset about that would cause them to do something that they did back in the 1930s or in the 1970s?
Well, you know, we have had...
Are they organized, I guess,
enough to... Farmers have never been organized at any given moment, but mm-hmm. in 1933 they got organized, and they got organized in a hurry because they were there were feelings of desperation. And same thing happened in 1974. When I was growing up, farmers are not, they're working all day, 7 days a week,
right,
out on the farm. They're not prone to being going off to organizing meetings, but when conditions reach a point where they can't take it anymore, when they reach that breaking point, they get organized in a hurry and they'll take these dramatic actions, as happened in the milk strikes in 1933, happened more recently during my own upbringing. And you know, we had 50 years of market stability and decent prices. Farmers had times when they would struggle. They would have times where they were doing relatively well, but we had 50 plus years of market stability. Well, a lot of that is getting unraveled.
It is.
And you know, that little town of Curtis was 150 people then, but when I was growing up there. It's just over 200 people now, but it's the majority of the population is Latino. Most of the people mm-hmm. living in Curtis are not white.
You mentioned that. Yeah.
Because they're the cow milkers. They are. They're the farm workers.
Yep. Right.
And if current immigration policies take us to such extremes that you're deporting people simply because they're brown or black, mm-hmm. You could cripple American agriculture. And if people are pushed to that limit again, where their operations are crippled, you'll see them rise up again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that Trump has exempted farm workers at this point.
So far.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We'll pick it up there when we come back with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author, 7:48. Back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then painting from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer.
All right, I'm getting depressed. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Deep and straight and not cut corners.
Not a good life. WMDX 92.7. And I want to thank Laura for the text this morning. She loved the Costco pedestal fan story. I don't know if you realize it, but you called it fantastic at least twice. So thank you, Laura.
John, you didn't even get to the hopeful part of that little poem from Paul Harvey.
Well, what was the hopeful part?
Oh, yeah. Where was that?
At the very end, it's about a kid who wants to become a farmer when he grows up.
Well, there's still plenty of kids out there that want to do that, right?
Damn.
FFA and all that.
How much time do we have here?
All right. 4-H. It's 7:54. This portion of the show being brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. Pardon me. MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. They're at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. They offer fast and flexible appointments. Talk to Jim and Sarah. They are helping people change their lives. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids, as John and I both know.
Yes.
We've been there. We've done that. We've got hearing aids. They're amazing. It improves the quality of life through better hearing. It's Madison Hearing Aid Center. Go to their website, MadisonHearingAidCenter.com.
See, we thought we were indestructible at those concerts that we attended.
What you think, those rock concerts back in the 70s. Yeah. And, loud music will do it.
You pay the price in the end, though. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
We're back with Mike McCabe now. God. We were talking about farming and,
Yeah, there's a different impression of farmers, you know, and it's a misimpression of farmers because you gave a few examples in your post at Substack. Regarding how farmers vote.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've done work over the years that put me on the road a lot and put me in front of a lot of audiences. I was a candidate for governor and spent a lot of time, you know, going to every nook and cranny of the state, talking to a lot of people. And one of the things I hear when people know of my rural background is that, well, you know, they vote the way they do because they're bigots.
Yeah.
And you know, and I get where they're coming from. I hear what they're saying, but I always challenge that. Mm-hmm. Always. And one of the things I say is, okay, if bigotry explains their voting, then how do you explain the results of the 2008 presidential election, when dozens of the most rural counties in Wisconsin voted to elect the first black president in our nation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then in 2012, if it's bigotry that inspires their voting, if bigotry is their guide when they go to the polling place, then how do you explain 2012? We had a U.S. Senate election, and one of the candidates was the only four-term governor Wisconsin has ever known, Tommy Thompson.
Yes.
And the other candidate was an out lesbian, Tammy Baldwin.
Yes.
And most of the most rural states in Wisconsin voted for the out lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I think it's really important to realize that the seeds of political revolt
mm-hmm.
are there in rural Wisconsin to, you know, in very recent times. And I think to this day. But, you know, if people are feeling frustrated, mm-hmm. you know, they'll also lash out and move in the other direction. But I don't think we can write off any population. I don't think we can write off any part of our state or our country. Because there are seeds of progressive revolt everywhere.
Yeah.
In every part of this land.
Yeah, we were talking off the air about the other revolt, and that was during the milk pricing problem that mm-hmm. we had here in the state. There was an oversupply of milk, and we also had problems shipping milk into Canada. It was at that time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they were dumping milk all over the state.
Yeah, and the thing is you can't turn off cows.
Yeah.
They need they
have to be milked every day, at least a couple of times a day.
Right.
And the milk comes, but if you are getting such a miserable price that you can't even afford to ship it to market, the only recourse you've got is to dump it. And you see that from time to time when milk right. pricing gets ridiculous enough, farmers will just say, well, we can't even afford to get it to market, so we're going to have to dump it, which is a horrible waste, of course. But you know, that is when you reach that point of desperation. And that's what will turn people to sometimes really unexpected kinds of political action.
Well, you know, Pam Yonke, Midwest Farm
Absolutely.
Report, she was on the program just this Monday
mm-hmm.
and mentioned that when the tornadoes come through and some of these barns are devastated, mm-hmm. You still got to milk cows. Yeah. Where do you milk them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who milks them? Where does the supply go?
Right.
I mean, that is a huge problem. I never even thought of it before.
Right. Go to a neighbor or, you know, try to truck the cows somewhere else. I mean, it's, yeah.
Different cows being milked at another farm. It's kind of, you know, chancy. I mean, no one knows what's got. There's a lot of work out there where these farmers have to get together and help each other out.
Oh, it's an incredible act of faith to throw seeds in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're, you know, a killer frost can destroy the crop. You can lose it all to a hailstorm or tornado. And that's always been the nature of farming, but yet people do it.
Yeah, that's it. They do.
Mike, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next Wednesday. It's Mike McCabe. You can check him out at Substack with his blog every week there. This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing remains constant since they opened their doors back in 1958. They're still direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Two locations in Madison, East and West Side. It's verlo.com.
Adjustable bed frames. Don't forget to ask about those.
And about their lifetime comfort guarantee.
That's right.
Tomorrow on the show, Dr. Tim Slecker, Jim Santel, attorney at law. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.